This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Another late night, another inexplicable lengthy rain delay, and another Yankee win. They win it 8-6 over the Baltimore Orioles, their 18th straight win over the O's. Nothing short of remarkable. Welcome to Savages in the Box. I am Chris Carlin. Monday through Friday, you know the deal. We will be here for you in the morning, give you 20 minutes, give you everything you need to know about the Yankees from the night before, get all your reaction, and also get the player reaction as well, get you prepared for that night's coming game. So, the Yankees at one point trailed 6-5 going into the top half of the ninth inning. And then Aaron Judge came to the plate facing Cole Seltzer. And the only thing I could say is when you're facing Cole Seltzer and he tries to throw his fastball past you on a 2-0 pitch and he gets away with it, he's going to get a little cocky. Well, at least apparently that's what's going to happen. He missed with the 2-1 pitch a little bit low, didn't like the call. And honestly, in the moment, all I could think of was Nuke LaLoosh.
I want to bring the heater to announce my presence with authority.
To announce your what?
Announce my presence with authority.
To announce your presence with authority? This guy's a first ball fastball hitter. He's looking for heat.
Oh, yeah? So what? He ain't seen my heat.
All right, me. Give him your heat. Well, he really hit that one, didn't he?
Nailed it like an egg.
Yeah, and he scrambled the son of a bitch. Look at that, he hit the full. Guy gets a free sting.
God, the sucker teed off in that like he knew I was going to throw a fastball.
He did know.
How?
I told him.
I would have thought Pedro Severino told him the way that Aaron Judge absolutely lit in to that pitch from Cole Seltzer. I can't stop saying Cole Seltzer. Cole Seltzer. It's a bizarre name, and it was a bizarre decision to throw Aaron Judge that pitch on a 3-1 count with two on in the top half of the ninth inning, and he paid for it. And frankly, if there was a bull in the outfield in Camden Yards, he'd be eating a free steak right about now on his way back to New York. And Aaron Judge was asked after the game one of the more obvious questions you could ever be asked. Do you feel good when Aaron Judge is coming to the plate in that situation?
Of course, you know, good at bat by Gio to start things and then, you know, DJ going the other way. And then, Judge, he got in a really good count, obviously, and really put a charge into him.
Yankees got out to a 5-0 lead early in the game, thanks to a Giancarlo Stanton RBI single in the first, followed by a Luke Voit grand slam. It looked like a classic Yankees-Orioles blowout type game, but the O's actually came back because Jay Happ was a little bit prone to the long ball. Gave up home runs to Cooperstown-bound Hanser Alberto and Rio Ruiz. And before you blinked, it was a 5-4 game. So, Jay, exactly what was going on?
I think it's tale as old as baseball with pitchers. I think I was rushing a little bit, probably anxious, after they got on the board early. But I think it's fixable, but I think it would have helped me get in some better counts if I could stay on that back leg a little bit. So, we'll try to work on that and focus on that.
Well, the home run ball continues to be a problem. 34 last year, and then two more tonight. 4 innings, 4 runs for Jay Happ. An hour and 34-minute rain delay in the sixth inning. Somebody has to explain this to me, because I thought the edict from Major League Baseball was, let's not have our guys sitting around in the clubhouse closer to one another for a long period of time. If it's raining and the game is official, bang it. And that's not what they did. It was a close game, yes, and I understand that the Orioles don't want to give it up, but in this case, what's more important? So, nonetheless, they did go back out, they did play, and the Orioles did come back, to their credit. Jonathan Loaisiga went out there after the rain delay in the sixth inning and the seventh inning and got him through that, but they pushed him for the eighth inning. You would have thought in a situation like that, that maybe Aaron Boone would have turned to Tommy Canely, but as it turned out, that wasn't an option.
Tommy wasn't available tonight, so, you know, we're going to go with Lowe there and try and get it to Britt. If you know, I was probably willing to go to a four-out save there with Britt if, you know, it got down to Smith, but, you know, wanted to ride Lowe through that inning.
Is Canely okay?
We'll have something on that tomorrow.
So that was Meredith Marakovitz, and later on today, sounds like we're going to find out that Canely might be down for a little bit. We'll see, but that would obviously be a blow to the bullpen, even though they do have incredible depth. So it was Pedro Severino who hit a two-run homer off of Loáisiga that gave the Orioles the 6-5 lead headed to the top half of the ninth inning. However, it was Seltzer who came on to try to close it out, and in the midst of it, he walked Gio Urshela to lead things off. Then DJ LeMahieu singled, presenting an opportunity for Aaron Judge, who promptly crushed a 3-1 fastball into the seats in left. So what was your mentality going into that at bat, Aaron?
Let's get the job done. You know, great at bat by, you know, Gio to get us started in that inning. And then, you know, I had a good view of DJ's, you know, base at the right field. You know, a lot of pitches today, I was just kind of pulling off and not really staying through it in the middle of the field. So just kind of seeing a nice, good swing from DJ right there kind of locked me in and said to come up big.
And it was coming up big for sure, because that was a victory to close out a road trip that has not been the easiest of road trips, to say the least. 8 days, 5 games, 4 wins, and in the midst of it all, had to take a couple of days off unplanned, and then they were about set to come home before they stopped and went to another city altogether to play a team they didn't anticipate playing until next week, and still got the 2 wins down in Baltimore. So 4 out of 5 to start the season. We understand that it's the Orioles, but Boone doesn't care considering how everything has gone down.
A couple of big at bats to finally get that big hit, you know, to really break through, you know, obviously having the 5-run inning, but being held at bay for most of the rest of the night. But, you know, for guys to continue to grind on obviously a rainy night, a long night where we know we're going back home, you know, proud of that effort where the guys really, really were able to stay locked in and finish off a victory.
And this is not to be overlooked. This, while it is against the Orioles and the Washington Nationals may not be the same team that won the World Series, 4 out of 5 on the road, you will take that any day of the week. So a good start for the Yankees. One real concern coming out of the game was Gleyber Torres, who was hit in the elbow with a pitch in the first inning, stayed in the game, but then in the fourth came out of the game, had x-rays, they came back negative, has an elbow contusion. Gleyber said afterward that he didn't feel 100% throwing the ball, could have stayed in, but did not want to put the Yankees in a position where he was going to make a mistake in a big situation and throw the ball away. So he says it's possible that he could play on Friday night. Aaron Boone said the same thing, but for the moment, he is day-to-day, so we will see how that plays out. The other issue to contend with out of it would be Gary Sanchez. 0-for-15 now with 10 strikeouts at the plate. He has not looked good in any way, and this looks like the Gary Sanchez that goes through these extended slumps where he cannot get a hit for a month, and that's a problem. Obviously, they have to snap him out of it here in relatively short order. Offense is lengthy, as we know, but we also know that at different times, you're going to have to call on different guys, and Sanchez's number is going to get called in a big situation. You can't have him in this kind of a massive slump for such a long time, especially when he is not the most gifted of receivers of the baseball. He's gotten better, but we still know there's an awful lot of work to go for Gary Sanchez behind the plate. All right, big takeaways from these last few days. Number one, this team does have a look. It has a look about them of supreme confidence, and it has a look about them of an edge to taking care of business, if that makes sense. They don't look like a team that is remotely concerned in any situation. They look like a team that is very comfortable in any situation. And one thing that I've always heard great coaches talk about is having a group that is very comfortable in a chaotic situation, very comfortable playing from behind if need be. And they absolutely look like that. And it's a supreme confidence that obviously comes from an incredibly powerful lineup. But this kind of look does not always come around with great teams, with great talented teams. Sometimes it takes a while for that to develop, but I think this has really come from a group that has an edge coming out of the spring. Maybe I'm making a little too much out of it, but I do buy into the notion that Aaron Judge sat there at the end of last year with this this team and said, fellas, just remember what this feels like and never want to feel it again. And it's not like Judge has won a championship, but this team right now looks like they're playing with a mission in front of them and they're playing incredibly focused baseball. You know who's been incredibly focused for takeaway number two? How about Giancarlo Stanton and the start that he is out to? 3-for-4 on Thursday night. He's now hitting .500 for the season with an OPS of 1.6. And you heard them talk about it during the broadcast. Stanton, from a mechanical standpoint at the plate, could not look more comfortable. I know people are going to go and jump to the conclusion, well, there's no fans, there's no pressure, all that. You know what? Every time he comes up with runners on base, there's pressure. This looks like the Giancarlo Stanton that the Yankees traded for. Now, we all know it could come crashing down at any moment with him getting hurt. In fact, it's almost an expectation. But that is a tremendous start for Stanton. Miguel Andujar started the game, went 1-for-2 before he was replaced by Mike Tauchman later on. And, of course, he was in there for the slumping Brett Gardner, who has not gotten off to a good start for the Yankees. Zach Britton, sharp. 2 strikeouts, looked about as good as could be in that closer role for his second save of the season. So right now, the primary concern would be the health of Gleyber Torres and Sanchez getting out of his slump. Hopefully, both of those things will be on the positive side in relatively short order. All right, let's get to some of your reactions. We checked in late in the game on Twitter. First one comes from Pete G on Twitter, saying Boone's pitching decisions are constantly puzzling. Well, I'm assuming that that is coming from the fact that he did not have Tommy Canely available to him, and you didn't know what you were going to see in that eighth inning as they stretch out Loaisiga. That's one of those times where I almost think that Boone was taking for granted that they were playing the Orioles, so he tried to sneak through with a guy like Loaisiga in that situation, and he obviously got burned by it. Matty K checking in on Twitter. The fake fan noise is bad, like really bad. Matt, I got to agree with you because whatever they're doing in Baltimore ain't working. It's like they're flipping a switch up and down. It's nowhere, and then all of a sudden it's at 8 decibels. That was bizarre. Whoever's running that PA system there has got to get a better clue. Ben checking in over on the Twitter. Gary sucks, but when it's the Orioles, it really doesn't matter. Dynamite analysis, Ben. Way to really come through. Vinny, a.k.a. Pickles, over on Twitter, at Run Brooklyn. It helps when the umpire bails you out on strike two and calls it ball three. He's referencing Cole Sulcer there, who on the 2-1 fastball went right at the knees a little bit low. I got to be honest with you. I thought the pitch was a little bit low. I didn't have a problem with it, especially considering it's Aaron Judge at the plate. We have seen how wide that strike zone has been for Judge before, so I had absolutely no problem with him calling that ball three in that situation. All right, up next, the Boston Red Sox come in for three games this weekend. A chance for the Yankees to get back home, and the home opener, a little bit different this time around, to be sure. But Aaron Judge and everybody, as you would expect, more than excited to get back home.
We're looking forward to it. You know, we always, this team loves to play in New York, so we're excited about that. But it's definitely going to be different with the Yankee home opener with no fans. That's one thing I always look forward to every single year, is that place gets rocking on opening day for us. And, you know, doing the intros, introductions, everything like that, it's something special. So we're definitely, it's definitely going to be different, but we're just looking forward to, I think, sleeping in our own beds and being at home.
The Red Sox are coming off playing the Mets for four games, two up in Boston earlier in the week, and the last two at Citi Field. They have won the last two, and Christian Vasquez is off to a tremendous start. He has already got four home runs for the Red Sox in the early part of the season. The Red Sox had gotten off to a 1-4 start, but that Mets bullpen is helped get them right back on track. Pitching matchups are as follows. Ryan Weber will start things off for the Red Sox on Friday night. Ryan Weber will start things off for the Red Sox against Jordan Montgomery, who gets to make just his second start in two full years plus. You'll remember at the end of last year, he made one appearance out of the bullpen, and he started one game. That was on September 24th. But he pitched just two innings in that game. Montgomery had this all pushed back because of what transpired with the Phillies games and the Orioles and all that. And he ends up opening up this series. You'll remember when we last saw him for a full year in 2017, Montgomery won 11 games. He was 11-7 with an ERA of 3.91. He pitched pretty well, and he was out there for 36 starts. That was very impressive, but the problem is that's 3 years ago now. He was 24 then. He is 27 now. On Saturday evening, Zach Godley, right-hander, will pitch for the Red Sox against Masahiro Tanaka, who will make his first start of 2020. Of course, he got hit by that line drive off of Giancarlo Stanton and live batting practice a few weeks ago. Last time out was over the weekend, and he pitched down at the alternate site, which is Scranton, and threw 40-some pitches and was just fine. So you would expect him to be able to get to the neighborhood of about 60 pitches on Saturday evening before they have to turn to the bullpen. Sunday, yet to be determined for the Red Sox, but James Paxton will be out there for his second start of the year. And remember, what's going to bear watching with Paxton? Quite simply, his velocity. In his last start, his first one of the year, after the back surgery, his velocity was sitting at just 92, where he's normally up around 96, 97. And for Paxton to be effective, that number has got to shoot up pretty soon. He's talked about wanting to build it up. We don't want to rush it. But at the same time, for Paxton to be effective for the Yankees this year, he has to have that 97 fastball mixed with that slider that dives in to right-handed batters. So that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. Chris Carlin with you. Look forward to next week. This was our first full week. It was bizarre, like it was for everybody, and like the last freaking 5 months have been for America. So we will see you on Monday morning. Enjoy every last minute of your weekend.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.